sleep.
Not sleep.
Yeah.
You know it's going to say sleep?
Yeah, because let love.
Tongue twister. Let my love seep into the inner recesses of your being. Do not close off any part of yourself from me. I know you inside and out. So do not try to present a cleaned up self to me. Wounds that you shut away from the light of my love will fester and become wormy. Secret sins that you hide from me can split off and develop lives of their own, controlling you without you realizing it. Open up yourself fully to my transforming presence. Let my brilliant love light search out and destroy hidden fears. This process requires alone time with me. As my love soaks into your innermost being, enjoy my perfect love, which expels every trace of fear. And Psalm 139 says, O Lord, you have searched me, and you know me. You know when I sit down, and you know when I rise. You perceive my thoughts from afar. You discern my going out and my lying down. You are familiar with all my ways. Before a word is on my tongue, you know it completely, O Lord. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. See if there is any offensive way in me, and lead me in the way of everlasting. So this morning we have, again, the opportunity, the blessing, and the privilege of experiencing God's presence as a congregation. We can always do it at home, by ourselves, with family. We can always turn our thoughts to Him. But there's a, I guess for lack of a better term, a strength, I believe, a greater ability for us to connect if we're having difficulties when we're together. And so this morning, let's just let our hearts realize that there is no other place to be than in His love and in His presence. And in His presence is fullness of joy. We thank you, Jesus, for being here with us today. And we receive all that you have for us.
I would rather be, no place I would rather be, no place I would rather be than here in your love, no place I would rather be, no place I would rather be, no place I would rather be than here in your love, here in your love. Set a fire down in my soul.
Set a fire down in my soul that I can't contain, and I
that you're pleased and that I'm never alone. You're a good, good Father. It's who you are. It's who you are. It's who you are. And I'm loved by you. It's who I am. It's who I am. It's who I am. For answers far and wide, but we're all searching for answers. Only you, oh God, 'cause you know just what we need before we say a word. You're a good, good Father. Do you are. Who you are, it's who you are, and I'm loved by you. It's who I am, it's who I am, it's who I am. You are perfect in all of your ways. 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 To I can hardly think as you call me, deeper still as you call me, deeper still as you call me, deeper still in the love, love, love. You're a good, good Father. It's who you are. It's who you are. Who you are, and I'm loved by you. It's who I am. It's who I am. It's who I am. You're a good, good Father. It's who you are. It's who you are. It's who you are, and I'm loved by you. It's who I am. It's who I am. It's who I am. You're a good, good Father. It's who you are. It's who you are. It's who you are. And I'm loved by you. It's who I am. It's who I am. It's who I
hunger and thirst. I'm
in your hands. This is my confidence. You never failed me yet. Never will forget. Never failed me yet. Never will forget.
Praise the Lord. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Tim. You might have what? Oh, yeah. It's okay. I'm off center most of the time. You want this, babe?
Thank you, yes.
Yeah. There you go. Okay. I think you need a mic, don't you? That way you can... communicate?
Sure.
Yeah, praise the Lord. That's, I love that song. I'll see you do it again. We have definitely seen him move mountains in our life. He's a mountain mover. And I always, every time we sing a song, I hear Madison, "Faith moves mountains," you know? Madison Green.
Yeah.
When we were children's pastors.
She was only about 3 years old. And
three
she
or
had,
four, yeah.
Yeah. And she sucked her thumb so much. You guys remember when her teeth went kind of up like that? For those of you that knew her. And she said, "Faith moves mountains." So cute. Adorable.
That was the days of Deputy Dugan.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, praise the Lord. You light up my life is the message. Oh, it's not there. It's not going to happen. Not going to happen today. Oh, it is going to happen today, I think. Is it going to happen? Do you have something else?
Not today, I don't.
Okay.
Unless
somebody else has something that's just
God
burning.
Or God does something right now.
Yeah. Which he could, right? He's capable. Ah, you light up my life. How many remember that song, "You Light Up My Life"? Yeah.
And you light up my life.
You hear it every time you watch Miss Congeniality, because that one gal sings it on there. That redhead
always
sings it. Yeah.
That's right.
Sings it poorly.
I might.
It's like, oh, that's like.
Poorly.
Yeah, it's like Broadway over the top style. Yeah. But I use this title, obviously, because it's a catchy phrase, but. It also really communicates a truth that God is in the business of lighting up our life.
Yeah.
And that literally his light is our life. And I believe that when we're outside of his light, then our life struggles. And we struggle. And we have, you know, setbacks and you know, all the things that come with that. Anxiety, anxiousness. Frustration, anger, resentment. You just line up the list. But when his light is allowed to operate and function in our lives, then I believe that there is an ease to our walk, an ease to our Christianity, ease to our life that comes. So let's go ahead and look at the Bible and see if this is true. Maybe I am just expositoring without any other proof, right, Tim?
Yeah.
hopefully now the Bible's going to back up what I just said, because if not, man, somebody else is going to have to take this.
We're in big trouble.
We're in big trouble, yeah.
Big trouble, mister.
Okay, so I did remember the controller today, Jess, and it's not controlling. Why isn't it controlling? It's not. Oh, which there's several. I wonder if it has to be on a specific. There's like four screens that show up with PowerPoint. Instead, and so maybe, let's see, does that work? There it is. Whatever you did, that worked. Thank you. And that's not a judgment of its character or nature, right? It's just like,
it just is.
Fortunately, that wasn't on the internet, and we won't get like banned or blocked from some.
Oh yes, we will.
Social media. We're not on social media, are we? We're on our own site, so that's awesome. Okay, so Job. Who would have thought going to Job to hear about being the light of life, right? But this is actually very powerful, this scripture. So go ahead and read it, babe.
He has redeemed my soul. Oh, wait. Job 33, 28 through 30. English Standard Version. 28. Sorry. He has redeemed my soul from going down into the pit, and my life shall look up upon the light. Behold, God does all these things twice, three times with a man to bring back his soul from the pit, that he may be lighted with the light of life.
Isn't that something? That this individual that's communicating actually to Job is the final one of his friends. And if you guys have ever read the book of Job, or and you know, sometimes it's easy to read the book of Job and you just read like the first couple of chapters. You read the first couple of chapters and you kind of get that, you know, the injustice that was done to Job, and you start reading and with his friends, and they're so deep that you can't really keep going. But this is the final friend, and this is the one that was justified by God. The other three were basically rebuked by God because of the way that they were judging Job. And he is communicating, and you know, I don't know if you, any of you know this, but it's possible that Job was actually one of the first books of the Bible. That it was possibly even written before
Genesis.
Moses wrote Genesis. Yeah, there is some debate about that out there.
Wow.
Yeah, just because of the areas and stuff that are named, and that. The way that man is viewing God, it could even be what we would consider pre-flood. So we're not sure. You know, it's very interesting. So he has redeemed my soul from going down into the pit, going down into the place of the dead, but that the dead for bad. And he says, and my life shall look upon the light. And so what this, and I can't remember his name, it starts with an M. Maybe you can look it up, Jesse, real quick. This last friend, the younger one that was talking to Job, he's saying, and my life shall look upon the light. And so it's almost like he's understanding salvation. He's understanding the work of Christ. Even years and years before, even possibly Moses was even talking about, you know, the type and shadow of Christ in the law and in all of those things. So he's saying, and my life shall look upon the light. And so I don't know how many of you have experienced this, but when you receive Jesus, it's as if a light goes on. It's as if like the switch of your life gets turned on. And you start examining, oh man, I had no idea I was unbuttoned. And that was just happened to be, but no, I had no idea that, you know, my clothes were a mess, or that I was dirty, or that, you know, I had all these things that were killing and destroying me. It's like all of a sudden you get to see. And it's as if your reality is changed from a reality of, well, for me, it was despair, anguish, just kind of wanting to stay numb all the time with some kind of drug or drink or whatever, just so that my life didn't feel as cruddy all the time as it really was. But then when his light came into my life, when I started following Christ, because as I've explained before, someone gave me the whole gospel message, but forgot to ask the clothes. Do Do you want to receive Christ today? Do you want to ask Jesus into your heart? Never asked me that, you know. And so
they left you hanging?
They didn't leave me hanging. They gave me, I don't know if they were being led by the Spirit, but so what I ended up doing was, this Jesus sounds like the guy I want to follow. So I started following him. Started reading the Word and listening and started following into his light. And the light that came into my life, I believe, is Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit is that part of God that is the light in our life, that reveals to us our weaknesses and our shortcomings and the goodness that God has put in us at the same time. I see you have something to say, or you don't have something to say. You're just bright-eyed. Okay. So behold, God does all these things twice, three times with a man. I believe he's saying, you know what? God's working with man multiple times. If you ever hear like, oh, this is your one opportunity to get your life completely right with God, I just don't believe that. I just believe God's going to keep working with you.
Yeah.
Now, maybe it's just three times. I don't know. To me, it says in the Word that he would have it, that none would perish. So I think he's always going to be working
God of many
with those
chances.
Who are looking. Mm-hmm. Yes. And this is to bring back his soul from the pit, and that he may be lighted with the light of life.
Jesse, did you find that name?
Yeah, I think it's Elihu.
Oh, Elihu, that's it, yeah.
I don't know where 32, M is at.
32:1. Okay, it's where they say his name, right. Okay, Elihu. Let's look, what?
It was Elihu.
You had it?
An M, yeah.
Yeah, I was wrong. I was, for whatever reason, I was thinking an M, but maybe one of his friend's names starts with an M, and that's what's throwing me off, but. Let's go ahead. Psalm 56, 10 through 13.
10. In God, whose word I praise, in the Lord, whose word I praise, in God I trust, I shall not be afraid. What can man do to me? I must perform my vows to you, O God. I will render thank offerings to you. For you have delivered my soul from death, yes, my feet from falling, that they may walk before God in the light of life.
So, This word, light of life, we now we've seen it twice now, and it's an understanding by both Elihu, something like that, Elihu, and now David, that light is associated with life, and that God is associated with light, and that even though David was going through, you know, difficulties and stuff, he was still praising God. He was still doing what he knew to worship God. And that in doing that, in that relationship, that he was having his soul delivered from death or the pit, the same thing. And that his feet were going to be directed and guided. You know, I think your what's it say? Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. So here we have David.
And isn't this after he's lost the baby, the son?
I don't know if this is then.
Because in 51 is where he's asking God to create in him a clean heart.
Right. But it could be.
Yeah.
If there's chronological order to this, then
yeah.
Absolutely that would be it.
So he was definitely, he had anguish in his life. Like, mm-hmm. You know, he's been, Nathan the prophet has come to him and said, you know, you're the man that's the dirty dog. And then the baby dies. And so at this point, he is in what we would deem a pit of despair. Like, we would all be like, you know, it'd be enough that a prophet came to you and told you you'd be in really bad. But it's another thing when your child dies on top of that. And so I believe that for him to be able, I believe that we need to get to this point where we can go beyond that pain and suffering, where we know that there's light, even though we feel that we're in the pit.
That's that trusting
it
that,
is,
that
and
our
that
hands
faith in him.
That our life is in his hands, mm-hmm. And that our hands and our feet are being guided by him.
Yeah.
And that, again, as we've said many times, that this life is a short moment.
Yeah.
You know, that's it, basically, a vapor, a
right.
Second. That is just that in the whole scheme of eternity. You know,
right.
So it, even though it carries a lot of weight to us because it seems like it's long and drawn out, and those of you who are teenagers, it's like, oh, it's taking forever to become an adult. you know, where I can do all my own stuff and, you know, and just basically, you know.
Don't have to listen to anybody.
Don't have to listen to my
parents. I can sleep all day if I want to.
Yeah, exactly. Or stay up all night. That was always mine. I wanted to stay up all night. I don't know why. It's because you had bedtimes and it's like I wanted to stay up all night. And when I got old enough to do it, yeah, I did it, but I felt horrible. And so then I realized, no, it's good to go to bed. It's good to sleep. All right. Let's go ahead and go on Psalm again.
37, 7 and through 9. How precious is your steadfast love, O God. The children of mankind take refuge in the shadow of your wings. They feast on the abundance of your house, and you give them drink from the river of your delights. For with you is the fountain of life. In your light do we see light.
So in your light we see light. We've actually did this years ago and on a Wednesday night Bible study. We had a great conversation. But again, it's one of those things. It's like when we get God's love in us, it's easier to love.
Yeah.
When we're loved by God, it's easier to love. When we're lit up by God, when we get His light, when we're in His light, when we're remaining in His light, which is Him Himself, because He is light. Jesus says, "I am the light of the world." Well, I think we'll actually read that verse, maybe. What ends up happening is that then we see light. Mm-hmm. And I believe it helps us see light in others. Mm-hmm. I believe where others might see darkness in others, we can see the light. Mm-hmm. We can see God working. I think George shared one time that we see people functioning in light easier. We see people doing good works easier. We see the light in our own lives easier. And so when it's saying that you light up my life, you bring light into my life that is necessary. Mm-hmm. Because otherwise, what happens if we don't have light?
It's all dark.
We have darkness, right? And the problem is when we have darkness, if light propagates light, what do you think darkness propagates? Darkness. It's like what ends up happening is you're sowing into darkness. What do you reap? Darkness. Mm-hmm. And darkness isn't necessarily, you know, everybody thinks darkness. Oh, just a bunch of bad deeds. No, darkness is the vacancy of light, is when light isn't present. Mm-hmm. And so darkness could just be darkness in your light to the place where your heart is heavy. Where your life feels weighted down, where there's no joy, where there's no fountain or river of life flowing, because we've let the darkness overwhelm us to the place where we're not receiving His light. I believe light is there for us to receive all the time. Just like God's presence is there for us to receive all the time. That if we're being overwhelmed by darkness, we can receive light into our hearts. One of the ways of doing that is to thank Him. We've talked about this, mm-hmm. being thankful in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Because when we thank Him, we enable Him to let His light and His love come into our lives mm-hmm. and illuminate those dark areas. Mm-hmm. Amen? Keep looking at you today.
I know, well, I'm mulling over. I'm wondering if, as we allow the light in, if we're either more cognizant of the fact that there's darkness in corners, or if we tend to just kind of glaze over those, because I've already let Him in 12 inches into my dark. Do I want Him to, I mean, you know what I'm saying? Like, I'm wondering if there comes a time that we have to consciously say, like David did,
"Search me, O God.
Search me, O God. Created me a clean heart." I mean, you know, there are corners in every part of our life, and I'm wondering if we're more cognizant as we let the light in, or if we're easier to say, "Oh God, I've already given you that much. You're good. I'm good. We're good." Do you know what I'm saying? Does that make any sense? I think
we are individuals that are kind of always, you know, little by little giving ourselves and to God, and sometimes even taking things back. Mm-hmm. You know, as we give things to God, and then things happen in our lives. Sometimes we say, well, I gave that to God, and that didn't go very well, so I'm take this back,
right.
Or maybe even taking some more stuff back, not realizing that it's to our own detriment.
Right.
That the more that we yield to our life to Him, even though difficulties may come, that He can cause those difficulties, like we said last week, to be made for our good, to
right.
to be transformed into a good situation in our life.
Right.
I mean, the loss of loved ones. Those are tragedy. Phyllis is getting ready to face the loss of a son-in-law, and that's going to be very difficult. He's going into the arms of Jesus, but it's still very difficult. But God will take this moment, I believe, to reach her family, to cause them to look at God. Even though some may be frustrated and anger right now, God will take what the enemy's meant for evil and turn it to good. And part of that is because Phyllis is believing for that. She's believing for God to be greater in this situation than the enemy's been greater.
Yeah.
Because, you know, the enemy comes to steal, kill, and destroy. Yes, I mean, we're all, you know, inevitably, unless the Lord comes or he does something new in the body of Christ, we're all inevitable going to, at this time, or at this state of life, pass at some point.
Right.
You know, unless we move into a new age where nobody sees death. Which, that'd be really crazy, wouldn't it? Where all of us alive, Jesus moves into a new dispensation, we're caught up, and we never see physical death. I mean, that's crazy.
Mm-hmm.
But right now, that's kind of all on our docket.
Right.
What is it they say, that the three things are inevitable in life? Death, taxes, and one more thing. I can't remember what it is.
Does anybody know?
Is it two things? Is it just death and taxes?
No.
I've heard two things, and I can't think of the other one either.
Death and taxes is what I've heard, but I thought there were three. Maybe it's birth, death, and taxes. But the point being is that those are inevitables that we
right.
face.
Right.
But even in death, light can come.
Right.
I mean, we saw that with Aaron. You know, we saw that in the losing of his life still brought an amount of light into our life from God.
Right.
Right?
He's still doing it even after all these years.
And he's still doing it.
Yeah.
We're still learning from his life. And he's been gone, you know, now 21
years.
21 years.
Almost 21. Mm-hmm. Wow. That's a long time.
So, Phyllis, I'm going to pray for you. Just as we came to this point. I was going to do it before, but it seems like right now is the perfect point. What? Yeah. Can we gather around you as a family? Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, as we lay hands right now on Phyllis, Father, we believe, Lord, that she is standing the gap for her family. Lord, that she feels, Lord, their pain and their hurt and their anguish. And Lord, she believes, Lord, that I know that what the enemy has meant for evil here would be turned to good. So Lord, as we lay hands on her right now, we just release your peace that passes all understanding, that it would guard her heart and her mind, and guard her family's heart and mind. And Lord, we pray for these young grandchildren, Lord, that are angry at you and are mad at you. Lord, that you love them. You love them even though they're mad at you. Lord, I pray that they would experience your love.
Yes.
Lord, that they would experience the true love of God, and that the fear and the anxiety, and Lord, that if there's hatred towards you, Lord, that it would be eradicated right now by your love.
Yes.
And we just thank you, God, for Richard's life, Lord. We thank you, God, that he has been your son. And Lord, that as you receive him into your arms, Lord, that he will be a seed planted into his family, and that fruit of people coming closer to you and knowing you deeper, Lord, would take place. We believe this now in Jesus' name. Yes, amen. Amen. Yes. Oh, no, I didn't know this. When did this happen? Okay. Oh, wow. Okay, yeah, I had no idea. Okay, Father, we pray for Jim right now, Lord, and for Josh and Michelle and the whole family, Lord. We pray that you would just, Lord, just bring your comfort. And Lord, we pray that you would allow your healing touch, Lord, to touch Jim. Help him, Lord, to be drawn even deeper and closer to you, Lord, so that he would know fully where his life and his source comes from. In Jesus' name. Yeah, Lord, we pray for the Jones family, Lord. As Fred has gone to be with you, Lord, we pray that you would just touch every member of that family and help them to realize, Lord, that you are the one that brings the comfort and the healing to their hearts.
Yes.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Go ahead and read Isaiah 61.
Arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you.
Arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. This is a communication from Isaiah, and actually it's to the children of Israel for a transformation to take place for them. But I always receive this scripture because this is true, because we know that we're being changed from glory to glory. And it's one of those things that I believe we have to take in our heart. We have to stand up and say, I'm going to rise and I'm going to let the light of God shine in me, because it's come, because Christ has come. When Christ come into our heart, the light has come into our heart.
Mm-hmm.
And the glory of that has risen upon us.
Right.
That glory of Christ in us makes us also the light of the world.
Right.
Amen?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
John 8:12. Again, Jesus spoke to them, saying, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life.
So here we have Jesus now saying, I am the light of the world. So if we look back at what Elihu, David said, and Elihu, I
whatever.
Can't pronounce those Jewish words that well. Thy name, yeah. Anyway, that God was the light of life, that's Jesus. Jesus is that light. And it said in the first chapter of John, I think I read it last week, that in him was the life, and that life was the light of men, speaking of
right.
Jesus. So he is our light. If we are suffering from darkness and the not just the appearance of darkness, but the effects of darkness in our life, it's because the light is not having the room to do what he needs to do in us.
Mm-hmm.
And if we look, whoever follows me, that means following his ways,
right.
Following his purpose and plans for your life, following his love for your life, you're not going to walk in darkness. And I remember, the timing of this is interesting, and you know, you always wonder how it always works out, but this is the verse that while we were in Cancun came to my heart, you know, and I remember communicating to you, it says, we're following the light, honey, and it says that if we're following him, that we're not going to walk in darkness. And I believe that means we're not going to walk in ignorance. We're not going to walk in not knowing where to go. We're going to have the light of life.
Right.
And he will lead us and guide us with that light.
The illumination is going to be for the path ahead.
Right.
As well as for the present now.
as well as for our hearts,
right?
As well as for our well-being and our emotions. All of those things mm-hmm. are going to be affected by that light.
Right.
If we let the light affect us.
Penetrate all the areas of us, because there's so many different areas of who we are. Like, we can say, oh God, you know, come in when I'm being all spiritual on Sunday morning, but you know, Monday through Saturday, just ask first before you do that, because you know, I need to be prepared. How ridiculous is that? It's like God wants to be the light of our life more Monday through Saturday than he does on Sunday. Here it's safe for him to be the light of our life.
Hopefully.
But Monday through Saturday is a whole nother thing. And people are watching, and kids are watching, and coworkers are watching, and you never know when God is going to do something powerful and amazing. And more times than not, the powerful and amazing does not come on Sunday morning. It happens at other times. And are we prepared for that? Are we wanting even that? I mean, you know, we have choice in this matter. He's not going to push himself on us. And we have a choice whether or not we want him to create in me a whole clean heart or just part of it, because there are some areas in there, God, I don't want you to mess with. It's a choice, and we say it all the time. It is a choice. And I know that it's hard for that full yes. And when you think you've said the full yes, you're going to realize you've just begun to say yes, because there's a whole lot more coming down the road. Like when he looked in the mirror that one Monday morning early, and God showed him the two paths. And said, if you go down this path, I love you, I'll bless you. But if you go down this path, this is the path I've chosen for you. And that's when he jumps out of the bathroom and into the middle of the bed and wakes me up from a sound sleep and says, how would you like to live in a basement? Which was a code word for, how would you like to be poor? You know, for God. And it's like, that was a Monday morning. That wasn't a Sunday. That was God arresting his heart and saying, right here, right now. Well, we thought that was the only yes we needed to say. That was only the beginning. And it's still going on today. He's still asking for more yes. But if we love him and if we trust him, we're going to let that light shine inside of us, because we will never be 100 completely satisfied in him unless he has every area of who we are. And that is the honest to goodness truth. If you hold on to part of the title, if you want to be on the title of your life with God, he will allow it because he wants you so badly, but he really wants just his name up there. He wants to be able to speak into our lives at times when we're mad at him. It happens. I remember when I was such a young Bible college pup, and I thought, ooh, what a sin to be mad at God. That's such a sin. Oh my goodness. I honestly could not hold a bag big enough for all the times I've been mad at him since. I mean, honestly. And to be honest, truly angry at him because he didn't work it out the way I thought it should be. Truly angry that he didn't heal Aaron. Truly angry that our kids are going through such pain. Truly angry because this is not working the way it's supposed to work. But if he's going to be the God of my life, he's going to be the God of my whole life. And lit up, shining bright, for me to see, you to see, anybody else to see. Because only in that place can he truly work in us. Can he truly, I want to say, be complete in us. Because that's the truth. If we're holding on to corners and dark little areas, he's never going to be complete in us. And we're never going to do for him really what our heart longs for. He made us. He created us to have a longing for him, even in our darkness, even in our lack of salvation. He created us, a longing for us, for the Holy One. He created that in us. He made us that way. And he made us to want to only really, truly desire his will for our life. And sometimes that will is not pretty, but it is always complete in him. Always complete in him.
Not pretty.
Not pretty.
Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness. Commit this to your heart and your memory right now. When you're following Christ, you do not have to walk in darkness. It is a choice for us to remain in darkness. And it is a influence of the enemy to try to keep telling us that we're walking in darkness, because we have the light of life. This is one of those things you have to believe by faith. But even when you don't see it, we have the light of life. Let's go ahead and see how this darkness interacts with mankind to the place where it looks like it's overwhelming us. Go ahead.
John 3:19-21. And this is the judgment. The light has come into the world, and people love the darkness rather than the light because their works were evil. For everyone who does wicked things hates the light and does not come to the light, lest his works should be exposed. But whoever does what is true comes to the light, so that it may be clearly seen that his works have been carried out in God.
This is Jesus talking to Nicodemus after he has come to him at night. He's told him, you must be born again. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but everlasting life. And his son, you know, didn't come to condemn the world, but that the world might be saved through him. Then he goes on, and this is the judgment. This is that judgment that the light has come to the world. And who is the light? Christ. He is the light of the world. But people loved darkness rather than light because their works were evil. So I believe that this is one of the ways that we can remain in darkness, is we focus on darkness and we let our love for darkness overwhelm us. So when we're not doing that, we're not following Christ. We're following our own desires. We're following our own ways. We're following the ways of this life. How many of you know that's easy to do? Because it's out there. I mean, people are all the time, you know, with their goods, you know, hey, buddy, you know, try this new thing, you know. You go on the on YouTube, you hear all kinds of horrible things that people are doing. New kinds of drugs, all, just so that they can alter their realities. And those are forms of darkness, because we're not yielding to the light of God, to the place where he becomes our all in all. Does that make sense?
Ooh, to me it does.
But whoever does what is true comes to the light. So light and truth go together. So when we say, Lord, let your truth be the permeation of my life, mm-hmm. your reality, because that's what the word truth means. Let what is a real, what's the word I want to say? Realness. What is real? What is truth? Let it be revealed in my heart, to the place where darkness doesn't have a hold on me. Go ahead.
Last one?
Oh, no. No, two more.
1 John 1:5-7. This is the message we've heard from him and proclaimed to you, that God is light, and in him there is no darkness at all. If we say we have fellowship with him while we walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us from all sin.
So God is light. So we're right back to where we started at the very beginning. God is light, and he's the light of life. And that if we have fellowship with him, if we have fellowship with God, what does that mean? Communion, common union, oneness with God. If we have oneness with God and we're walking with him, while we walk in darkness, still, basically, we're lying. And what is it that we're not doing? We're not practicing the truth. So I don't believe you can be walking in darkness and trying to walk in God at the same time. You can, I guess, fool yourself, you know, like in like I said, Revelations 3, where they said, hey, we're warm, we're fed, we're clothed, we're all good. And they were naked and wretched and blind, and they didn't even realize their condition because they didn't have that love of God working in them. That was their issue, right? But if we walk in the light, walking in light, what is walking in light? That's constantly keeping ourselves open to the work of God. I mean, walking in light, you can say, oh, well, that means I got to walk 100%, not making an error, a mistake, or ever having, you know, a temptation that I yield to. No, I don't believe that that's what that is, because we're going to make mistakes. Mm-hmm. We're going to have bad days. But I believe walking in the light is always allowing yourself to be open to the correction of the Holy Spirit, conviction when we do something wrong. Lord, forgive me. You know, I ask for your forgiveness. Help me to overcome this error. That's still walking in the light. I mean, when I used to read Walking in the Light, I used to think, oh man, that's like perfect. Walk perfect, and then you'll have fellowship with one another. But if you don't walk perfect, you're not going to. I believe the light of God is always available to us. And walking in the light is always allowing our deeds to be viewed by God, even though they always are. I mean, when we think, oh, I'm going to try to hide this. Well, we can't hide anything from God. We're hiding it maybe from others. Maybe we want to hide it from ourselves, our condition. But opening ourselves up to the light, having all of our deeds being exposed. And if he needs to bring correction, he brings correction to our life. If he needs to bring encouragement, he brings encouragement to our life. So that we'll rise up out of our current status, whether it be, you know, because I'm telling you right now, one person's the way that they're walking in light and another person's could be totally different. Because the light that they're walking in to one person here goes, oh, well, they're not walking in the light at all. When they totally are in their hearts, but their actions and their conduct doesn't look anything like this person because they're at this state in God right now. But they're totally letting Holy Spirit work in their lives. Doesn't mean they're not making tons of mistakes. I mean, if you think about it, and, you know, we have to get back to this idea that we are children, okay? That's what it says, right? We're the children of God, and we're growing, hopefully, into maturity as sons. Some of us take a little longer than others. But if you think about it, a parent is totally okay with their children growing up. They make mistakes. I mean, there are some weird parents out there that are mentally ill. I know that. But for most parents, no, I know that. There are people out there. I heard the one person who basically after his son went and washed the sponge with a rock. You know, he was washing the other side of the car and smashed his hand with a rock. That's evil, okay? So that's what I meant, mentally ill. But anyway, the point being is that there's a certain amount of grace that we extend to our children to make mistakes and grow. You don't think God's any more gracious than we are? I think he's much more gracious. You know, sometimes we have kids that just get it, you know, and it's great. And then we have the kids that don't get it. You know, it's like you got to keep telling them. But very rarely does a parent think, okay, this kid has to be just like this kid. That would be foolish. That wouldn't be fair. I mean, they're all individuals. Just like we're all individuals with God. And yeah, you get kids that compare themselves to their brothers and sisters and either feel shame or lack or wanting, and then the other ones feel proudful and everything, but that's not the way the kingdom of God should be. We should believe in each other. So if we walk in the light as he in the light, we have fellowship, or we have communion one with another, and the blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us from all sin. Isn't that awesome? That as we walk in this light, that it allows the blood of Jesus to have a work in our lives all the time. You're pondering something.
Well, I'm thinking, I got to say it because it's just so funny. I'm thinking about the story of my two sister-in-laws, and they were born 15 months apart. And they had had an especially awful, naughty day. And so mom was putting them to bed early. And the older one had been naughtier, the naughtier of the two. And so mom asked who wanted to pray, and the older one said, I will. And she bows her head, and she says, oh, dear Jesus, please forgive Juana and I for being naughty girls. And Juana is Wanda. And Wanda looked up, and her slap, I is a good girl.
Oh, and help us be good girls.
Help us to be good girls. I is a good girl. And so the reason I'm telling you that is because to Wanda, Faye was way worse than her. Like, I'm fine because you were the bad one all day long. Even though she went along with everything that the older one had said. And so as the older one is praying, the younger one slaps her in the face because she is a good girl and she didn't want her to say she was a naughty girl. Well, let me just say, sometimes God brings people to our lives to point out those things to us. And we can't curse slap people. We can't chide them. If they're bringing correction of God in our lives, we have to receive it with love. And that's not always easy to do. It is not easy at all, especially if you're somebody like me. I have a hard time receiving correction. I've always been that way. And even if it is constructive criticism, I still have a hard time because in your eyes, I want to be perfect. I know that's not right. And I know that that's not even feasible, but don't tell me about it. If it's not, I don't want to know. See what I mean? So, but I'm just saying in God, we have to be able to speak encouragement, growth, love to one another. That's why we come together.
Right.
We don't come together just to hear this and mark it off and say, we're done. We did Sunday. And you know, I'm a good girl. No, it's because we come into one another's life and God brings us into one another's life so that we can speak truth and love. That doesn't give us permission for saying, you did this and you did this and you did this. If God's not directing you, don't go there. But I'm just saying, encouragement in love comes out encouraging. It doesn't come out with a you shoulda, coulda, woulda, pointy finger in the face kind of thing. Do you know what I'm saying? Yeah. So that's why we all come together, so that we can grow in one another, grow up in God together.
Amen. With that said, final scripture.
Ephesians 5:8. Once your life was full of sin's darkness.
Isn't that the truth?
But now you have the very light of our Lord shining through you because of your union with Him. Your mission is to live as children flooded with His revelation light.
So that's our mission. Is to live as His children, flooded, letting His light shine, arise, shine, letting His light, His glory shine upon us. So, He lights up our life. How many of us like turn off the light, off, you know, at times?
Or have on the dimmer switch.
Or have on the dimmer switch, yeah.
You know those dimmers that, yeah. Yeah, dimmer switch.
Yeah. Oh, Father, we just thank You for this opportunity to get together. And Lord, I pray that as Your children of light, Lord, as You being the Father of lights, as You illuminate our hearts, Lord, that we would yield and surrender, Lord, to the truth and the reality that You bring to us. Lord, that we would be able to walk with You and walk in Your light, and have fellowship and communion with one another. And then Your blood, Lord Jesus, will be cleansing us, Lord, from all our failures, all of our sins, all our inadequacies, everything that is shortcoming, Lord, from Your glory. Lord, let Your light so shine in our hearts, Lord, that there is no room, Lord, for the works of the enemy. And we just ask this now in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Yeah, were there any comments? Sorry, I cut short. Yes?
Me and you were doing a devotional.
A devotional? Yeah?
Yeah, and it's and it's called The Light and Word.
Okay.
And this is
The Light and Word?
The Light and Word.
Okay.
And then this is day 7 of it. It says, the light of men is a person. To become supremely enlightened, you have to receive a person, Jesus. Intellectual understanding may get you so far, but if you study the teaching of history's wisest men, including the writers of the Bible, and you do not meet Jesus, you are still in darkness. If you follow a religious system more ardently than even its founders, even a Christian religious system, you may still fail to find true and everlasting life if you miss embracing the person of Jesus. The common criminal who died on the cross next to Jesus got it.
Yeah.
He was suddenly enlightened, seeing the person of Christ and reaching out for the life that he had caught a glimpse of. Judas Iscariot spent 3 years living with Jesus but did not get it. The religious leaders who made life of fastidious observances in line with the understanding of the Jewish scriptures, Jesus called whitewashed tombs, scrubbed up on the outside but dead on the inside. No everlasting life in them. Message not received, eyes shut to the light. Jesus, manifestation of God and the source of life, not received, dead. And the scripture for that was, in him was life, and the life of the light was the light of mankind.
Yep.
And so we've, and this is what we've been doing all week. It's like a
That's amazing.
Like the light and the word of God.
So. Yeah, that's awesome. Thank you, Vicki.
Thank you.
Anybody else?
Okay. Well, praise the Lord. Well, you guys have a great week and a blessed day. And what were you saying? A blessed day? A blessed day. Because every day is a blessing.
Yes. Every day is a blessing.
You look at Vicki's shirt. Every day is a blessing, not just Sundays. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Jesse. Yes.